Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's show on Raising Expectations. And we're so glad that you're tuning in to be with us this evening. In fact, I was just thinking about a special guest that we have with us tonight. So anxious for you to get to know him. But also, I was thinking about something I wanted to share really quick, and those are called our co-hosts. I got a text that came in today, and a wonderful family shared from the East Coast how much they appreciated our co-hosts and what we do. It made me go back to the first book that I wrote, and I said something like this, and guys that are co-hosts, it made me think about this. I said, I read today that some psychiatrists say Americans today are born crying, they live complaining, and they die disappointed. In fact, they say youth is a blunder, maturity is a struggle, and old age, well, just a regret. That's why we have Raising Expectations. We don't believe that, right, folks? Yeah. We believe that there's something special for all of us, and God has something he wants you to be doing, and that fits in so well with what we're going to be sharing today with our special guest. And Justin, I also want to introduce you to our co-host tonight and to all the folks that are listening. We have Dr. Paul Hall, and Dr. Paul is a retired pastor, a theologian, a great Bible teacher, and most of all, a friend to countless people who he's helped lovingly steer through situations in life. And we also have Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. Rob's a really interesting fellow. He was a Top Gun squadron leader. He flew an F-14 Tomcat and led a squadron. He and his wife are they're my favorite people in the whole state of Arizona. So I'm coming to Arizona tonight, and you're going to so enjoy getting to know them, Justin. Also, we have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Stephanie is a coach with wellness and learning how to take care of yourself, but she does the whole thing. She teaches you principles, biblical strengths from the inside out that help you become all that you truly can become. And then her husband, Dr. Thayer, Craig Thayer, is a special surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon, leads the department at his hospital. And I think one of the greatest things we've heard about Dr. Craig is that people say to him they are so thankful and they love this doctor for the way he treats them. Justin, these are great people, and I want you to know them just like your own family, because I know they're going to know you this way in just a moment. Now, let's move right along and let me introduce you to Justin tonight. I had the pleasure of meeting Justin, what was it, Justin, like 3 years ago, I think, and back in Dallas, Texas. And he was putting together this book, Daddy Saturday. Well, the book is so incredible because it touches the hearts of people, families, and fathers particularly everywhere. In fact, one of his great quotes is this. I love this. Fatherhood is no longer a playground. It's a battleground. The demands placed on fathers have never been greater, yet neither has the importance of a father's role in the life of his child. And we all say amen to that. Amen. So amen. With no further ado, and I kind of have to say that because I say it every week, Justin, sorry, but they're used to that saying that. Let's welcome Justin to Raising Expectations. Justin Batt, it's a pleasure to have you here. God bless you and your family, and we can't wait to hear from you and share with you. Folks, let's welcome Justin to our program.
Welcome, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
All right. Thank you all. So glad to be here.
Amen. Yeah. Who'd like to ask that first question? Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself, okay? Your background. I was privileged. I watched one of your TED Talks today, so I got a little bit of introduction, you know, to your journey. But if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, maybe a little bit about your background, that would help. Okay.
Yeah, so I've been married to my wife, Heather, for 15 years. We have four children, a daughter, Hayden Olivia, who's 13, and three boys in a row. Blaine is 11, Mason is 8, and Easton is 6. We live on a farm called True South Farm, just south of Nashville, Tennessee. And we named it True South because in Ezekiel 47, the water flowed out of the south side of the temple into the Dead Sea and brought it to life. And so that's what we use our farm for, is to give life to others, especially kids that don't have a father. And we've got a couple of doodles, labradoodles and a Bernie doodle. So it's a gentleman's farm at this point. We do have some cows coming in the next couple of months. So we're excited about that. I added farmer to my resume, although technically I don't know that I can count it as a farmer yet. Taking you back a couple of years, I came out of college at Clemson University and married my wife coming out of college. We were both Clemson grads. And she started teaching and I went into corporate America. And she quickly left the teaching profession and started her own business, a couture bridal boutique in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had our first daughter at the time, Hayden Olivia, named the store after her. And fast forward, added those three boys to the mix. And I found myself as a corporate dad with our kids all day on Saturdays for 8 to 10 hours, trying to entertain them and have a good day together while my wife worked at her store. And what I quickly found was that I had to be intentional going into those days or they just didn't go well. And God had a meeting with me and he said, Justin, you can be a blessing or a burden. Your kids can be a blessing or a burden. The choice is really yours. Are they going to be an inconvenience or your assignment? And I took that to heart, began planning our days, becoming intentional and creating these epic adventures, which my kids affectionately named Daddy Saturday. We've now created a platform to help fathers who are in the home be intentional, be engaged, and to really level up and own the role that they have as that father figure. And that's one side of fatherlessness. We're also addressing the second side, which is helping kids who don't have a father figure in their life, don't have a biological father living in the home. And we're now serving them through a variety of programs as well. So we're super excited to really work on impacting this huge epidemic in our society and to change the world one father and one child at a time.
That's great. I love the phrase. Yeah, go ahead. I love the phrase you use, intentionality, and your CDO, which is so cool, Chief Dad Officer. You like that, Rob?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. And by the way, I want to make a plug. Dr. Paul Hall is our wardrobe specialist during this show. I just want to make it clear for everybody so that, you know, whatever he wears, we wear, okay? And it's usually
casual.
Very casual.
With V-neck.
Very loose clothing. And we're pretty loose and we're good dads too, by the way.
Amen.
We try.
Yeah.
Now, Justin has a Spartan sweater on. He's living on the edge, I just have to tell you. Am I right?
I do. I do have a Spartan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm an avid Spartan racer, as are the kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw you did that with your kids. So when our youngest is 13, but when they were little, I don't know, toddlers, we had them do the mud run, you know, where they only have to do 100 yards or something. So tell us a little bit about doing that and including your kids, because oftentimes athletes that do that kind of level of stuff do it separate from their children.
Yeah, thanks, Stephanie. It's a great question. And it's something that I did a couple of my own. I actually met the founder of Spartan Race, Joe DeSena, and I was looking to work with him to do, I'm in publishing for my day job, and we're going to do a book together. And he said, well, if I'm going to do a book with you, you have to do one of my races or I won't work with you. So I said, okay, I'll do one of the races. I did it and just loved it. Fell in love with the competitiveness, the way that it pushed me to levels, not just physically, but mentally, that I didn't know that I could even push myself through. And it really got that competitive bone and that athletic bone in my body going. So I brought the kids with me the next time. And of course you mix, especially for the boys, some mud and some obstacles and they just went crazy. But what it did really was change this mindset around creating the opportunity to be comfortable, being uncomfortable, and the principle of overcoming obstacles in life, right? And there's so many things in a Spartan race that simulate what happens in life, right? There are times where you get stuck in the mud, where life gets hard. You're trudging through that, the difficult time. Well, you get a couple of choices. You can give up, right? Or you can continue to push through it. And oftentimes, if you're strategic, there are some ways that you can get through it. Most importantly, you focus on God, right? And have God be a part of your life in that capacity, and he can help you through that. We've often taken what happens in the races and we now simulate them at home. On our farm, we've got a very large hill in the front of our property. And every morning, we walk the hill before school, call it driveway devotionals. And it's not an easy walk. It's about a quarter of a mile, and it's a pretty good elevation the way back up. And your lungs are burning, your legs are burning. And on Wednesdays, we call it heavy day for hump day. And so they carry sandbags, and I've got a sandbag on my back, and we walk. And I can't tell you the number of times where in that moment, our youngest Easton, as an example, he's six, he'll start whining and say, "It's too heavy, Dad. I can't do it. I don't want to carry the bag." And I'll look down and I'll take the bag from him. And it gives me a chance to say, well, just like the Bible says, buddy, God's yoke is not heavy. His burden is light. But in this case, you got to let God take the burden right from you. Because if you don't let him have it and you continue to carry it, then you don't lighten your load. And God can't help you out in that capacity. So it's a great learning methodology. And it's a great way for us to connect and have that relationship. So Spartan has become a mentality part of our family. It's also get their medals. It says earned, not given, on the back of the medals, which I love. We use that for technology in our house. So they can't engage in technology unless they've earned the right to engage in technology. So Stephanie, Spartan, obviously the races are great. Training for the races teaches them a lot. But I think more of the mindset and some of the lessons that my children have learned and I've learned as their father have been priceless.
Yeah. Can I tell a story real quick about our kids, kind of related? So yeah. I'm a workout junkie, just because it makes me a nice human, but our garage is a gym. And so our kids will ask us at different times. And one of our daughters is totally into Spartan, by the way, the electrocution and all that stuff. And so So one of my sons said, "Will you help me learn to run?" I said, "Okay." And typical of a young person, they go really fast and then they want to stop and really fast. And I'm telling him to pace. He's like, I can't do it. My ankles hurt so bad. And we're, maybe 2 minutes in. And I turned and looked at him. I said, "What did you say?" He said, "I can't do it." I said, "Don't ever say that." And he said it again. Yes. And I turned around and I ran home. It wasn't very far. Okay. We live in the country. And he came back like 5 minutes later crying. "Mom, I can't believe you left me." But I was probably 8. I left him for a little bit. And then I came out in the garage. I said, "Do you know why I left?" He goes, "No." I said, "Do not ever say I can't. Do not say that." And we have it on a whiteboard. He still wrote in his little handwriting, "I can," because a lot of it's that mental. So I love, we need a hill that we climb. I think we have one. I think that's a great, so many learning things within being with your kids and helping them to push, right?
Yeah, I mean, Stephanie, go ahead, Craig.
No, go ahead, Justin.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to comment and say I love that so much. And we call it the power of the spoken word. And what you say over yourself becomes true. So the moment you say you can't do something, then that becomes a reality. In our hill, there's the steepest part, right? And it's the hardest part of the hill. When the kids tip that, I say, "What part is it?" They say, "It's the easiest part, Dad." And so, like, I've literally conditioned them to start to change their mindset, right, about different things in life. And so it's so powerful, and what they speak over themselves, what they speak out loud, becomes true. So I love to hear that story about the can't. We're the same way in our family. There is no can't. There's only do.
They don't say that anymore, by the way. We don't hear that word. Yeah.
A couple of deaf ears. Yeah. I mean, you have a similar structure to what we do. We had two girls first and then three boys next. So the girls are more of a challenge. But fun.
Different challenges.
Yeah,
it is.
The oldest is the Spartan. She also CrossFits, and so that was her basis. Was a volleyball player in college, so in high school, and actually before that, she was a club player. I mean, we've lost that. I think physicality in the world. We all sit behind something that it's too easy for people to sit and play video games, and you need to get out and move. And I think Braden, our youngest, did something wrong once, and I went old school on him and said, "You see all those rocks over there by the front gate? I want them stacked up in the driveway. Yes. He does. It took like an hour. And then I go, okay, now move them back. He goes, what? Yeah, move them back. But, you know, while you're doing something, shoveling snow, or it's time to think, I think, and reflect. And we've kind of lost all that, I think.
You hung out with them, too. It was
Oh, I think that's great, and you're so right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Justin. What's interesting about all this, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, parents didn't really need to get involved so much in children's physical activities because they'd open the door, you know, at 8-ish,
right.
And we'd go out and we'd play all day, and we'd run and ride bikes and play with our neighbor friends and everything. And then we'd come back and, you know, whenever dad came home or whenever dinner was ready. And I remember, in addition to that, that I always, after doing all that kid stuff, I always liked reading. And so when I was growing up, doing all that normal kid stuff where, you know, we didn't have safe spaces, we didn't have any restrictions on drinking out of the water hose or playing in the mud or anything like that. I always like to come back after doing all that and read books and read encyclopedias. And, well, that kind of explains how twisted and sick I am right now. But I just sometimes worry that a lot of times we focus on the physical aspects of either dadhood or child raising, and we also need to focus equally, if not maybe more so, on their intellectual development, which doesn't always come from running and jumping and pumping iron and all the things that, you know, keep them physically active. And I think these days also there's a lot of there's a lot more structure in a lot of kids' activities than there used to be. We always used to kind of make our own structure with the neighbor kids and going out and doing stuff. But nowadays, I know there's more structured stuff, and for better or worse, and I have no opinion on that. I think there's probably some good aspects, but I guess my point is that it's important to develop kids, well, morally, mentally, and physically, I guess. That's actually one of the mottos of the Naval Academy, but I just thought I'd bring that up.
But, you know, also, you know, when we were growing up, same time frame, you know, we had television.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have computers. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have all these video games growing up. We had to make our own fun. It was like my mm-hmm. mom would say, go outside and get the stink blown off you.
Yeah.
Just get out of the house for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just come home when I holler or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Come up, be home by 6 for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and so we just ran around with kids playing kickball and
kick the can.
Yeah, well, we didn't have kick the can.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, it's like jump in the ditch and the leaves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we just ran around, you know, and like today, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of kids are focused on their phones and on computers and stuff like that, which we didn't have growing up. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Just my 2 cents.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, there'd be the occasional parent that would tell their kid, well, go outside and play with yourself. Well, oh, what's up with that?
I didn't mean that.
Oh, well, I know, but I mean, that was what they said. Just mm-hmm. saying. So
go find something to do.
Yeah, go find something to do. That's probably a better way of putting it.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. So, hey, Justin, well, we're a big family. Welcome to the family, man.
That's
family
so good.
Show.
It's a great family. Well, yeah. I think
these are
Rob and Nancy.
These are old phrases that we grew up with.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, sometimes we need to bring some of that stuff back, right? And I deal with so many fathers and so many families and so many kids that don't have a father figure. And I think there's two things that we're seeing right now in society. One is that when you look at the lack of a father in the home, right, you've got 24 million kids in America that don't have a biological father living in the home. So there isn't that figure there to even make them go outside or engage in those things, right? The breakdown of the family and the father not being there physically is causing a huge detriment to the children coming up today. The other side of that is the father is there, he's physically present, but he's emotionally absent. So mm-hmm. he's not engaged, he's a workaholic, or he's looking at his phone when he's at home, and he's not engaging the kids. That's a whole other issue. And what we're seeing is that if you look at the millennial generation in particular, a lot of those kids when they were growing up, they didn't have someone there to push them to fail, right? Or to go be curious and try things and be adventurous. So now they're getting into adulthood and they've got no mechanism for dealing with that because they never had failure in their youth, right? Because failure at 8 is way different than failure at 28 or 38. At 8, you know, it's inconsequential most times. At 20 or 38, there can be significant consequences that come with that, especially if you don't know how to deal with failure and move forward. And with your military background, Rob, I mean, that's a big part of it, right? Is forget it, drive on, right? That's one of the military lines, FIDO. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing that in kids today. And the resiliency just isn't there, as well as what Nancy said, and that curiosity, just to go outside and be able to play by yourself or to make up a game. It's got to be, I have to be in front of a screen or engaged in technology in order to be engaged. And that's a huge detriment right now to what we're seeing in our today's kids.
Yeah, good point.
Have a snowball fight, you know, build a snowman, you know, get the kids out, even, you know, put the mittens on, get them out there. I know it's very cold in some areas, but, you know,
and let them
if
be
you give
kids.
Me like 5 minutes, get out there and play in the snow. Mm-hmm. Just make an angel. Just get out. Yeah.
There's a phrase you use, Justin, that I think is really cool. Ties right in with what you're saying, Nancy. I used to call them memory moments with my kids. I think a phrase that you like that I really like, moments are memories or making a different minute. I thought that was good. And, you know, the Bible talks about we're body, soul, and spirit. And the body, we got to get that in shape. We love to do the exercise. And like Rob was saying, the mind, emotion, and will of the soul, what we think, who we are, you know, to be uplifted, to be challenged, to be reading, to be sharing, to be exercising. I think those memory-making moments with our kids, at least in my life, I found those are the ones they come back and they say, hey, Dad, do you remember? Quick example, I had a hot tub. Wasn't a very fancy one because, in fact, we were up in the foothills with the first church I was at, Justin, and I'll never forget when my son John was sitting in the hot tub with me and he said, Dad, there's a mountain lion right up there. And I said, really? And sure enough, there was a mountain lion looking right at us on our 5 acres there. And he said, Dad, I think he thinks we're chicken noodle soup. And I said, there's two chickens in this. We're at it. But my kids will always want to come and talk to me. They'd never say, Dad, I remember reading something in your book. And my kids would never say, Dad, could we talk about this? They say, Dad, you want to go get in the hot tub? And because of those memory-making moments, they say, and you know, honestly, brother, I don't really remember some of those moments. So I just play dumb, which for me, the older I get, isn't too difficult. But I just sit back and let them share. And it's like you said, those minutes and those memory-making moments and minutes covering everything y'all are talking about. I think they're special. That's one of the things that really blessed me in your book and all those moments, little things you did. Those kids never forget it. And you're growing champions for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, what you said is so important. And, you know, what I found is that you don't have to make those memories or in order to make those memories epic, they don't have to be expensive, extravagant, or extraordinary. For us, when the kids were younger, it was the trampoline. The trampoline was our hot tub. Right. We would go out there and we would just bounce around and wrestle and fight and play and tickle and look up at the clouds and just lay there exhausted. And those are some special moments. And we'd go back and jump on the trampoline or it's let's go take a walk. Right. That was my daughter and I's thing. When she wanted to talk about something, it's Dad, let's go take a walk. Or Dad, it's time for a date night. And we would do a daddy daughter date night and go out and make that happen. So when you create those moments with your kids and you are intentional, then they tend to come to you, right, when they really need something because they see that relationship is there. So, Joe, that's so great, and I love the hot tub time machine that you had with your kids, and each of us need to find those special places with their kids that they can always feel comfortable coming back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the problems I think we have in our culture today is that because we have, I don't know, some percentage, a high percentage of single-parent homes, is that, you know, yes, you don't have a male role model, which for boys is a huge problem. I remember too, growing up, my dad was always gone working or going to meetings and everything, but, you know, we always managed and we knew he'd come home and everything is fine. But then there's a lot of folks with kids that the single parents that don't have a father come home. And so there really isn't that kind of role model or somebody, a male figure, that can guide them or get them away from what seems to be the common denominator of joining a gang, getting involved in drugs, getting involved in violence and that sort of stuff. And that's tough because, you know, the single parent, usually the mother, is involved with working two or three jobs and she's too busy, to raise, especially boys. And we don't do a very good job of, either helping those boys get raised properly or keeping them away from the temptations of the street gangs and violence and so forth. I don't know if you have any comments on that. I mean, you know, again, it's great if you have a father figure at home, a dad that's able to be a good role model. But again, in many cases, that dad just isn't there. So how do we overcome the social problems involved with young guys, especially who don't have the dad in their life?
Yeah, well, I'm a problem solver, Rob. So I think you're spot on. And you know, one of the challenges is that today, 51% of kids are being born out of wedlock, meaning more kids are being born today without a dad than with a dad. So first, we got to stop the problem, right? So it comes through education, comes through really helping the father understand what their role is, and even if they're not going to engage in marriage, they still need to be there and be involved in the kid's life. That's the biggest detriment. So that's the root of it. The second piece of that is we're doing a program called Kid Boss, BOSS, and it's all about helping kids own their future. So regardless of your past, your experiences, your circumstances, you can own your future. You just need a guide or a mentor along the way. And so we've created a mobile app. We're using technology. We have a curriculum that focuses on spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, relational, financial, and entrepreneurship. We partner with groups like Dave Ramsey for the financial piece. We believe every kid should be able to start their own business and provide for themselves. That's the entrepreneurship piece. John Maxwell, Spartan Race, some others have contributed content. It's all in this mobile application so that, you know, they're using technology anyways. Why not use technology in a positive light to put great content, great education in front of them that can help them fill some of that gap? And then we're pairing them through the church locally or through local organizations with a mentor so they can have that father figure in their life. The mom will sign off on that person, and whether they want to take tennis lessons or golf lessons or do a STEM project for science and math and learning, they've got those opportunities, and we are trying to be the gateway to make those connections to start to curb this problem and make that happen. I think one of the most impactful stories that I've ever heard around this topic was from an older gentleman who was in the foster system. And in one of his foster homes, he was placed with a family, and they weren't a perfect family. They had a couple of other kids. And he said, the thing for me that was so meaningful was just seeing dad come home from work, knowing that dad was coming home from work every day, regardless of what time he got home, regardless of what kind of mood he was in. It's just dad came home from work. Like, he'd never seen a dad come home from work before. And then dad would take his paycheck and he'd spend his paycheck on the family, right? For food and for housing and for clothes and all the basic necessities. He never had a dad that provided for the family. There were simple things, like basic things that so many kids don't have in life. They don't have in terms of a father figure. So had he not had that experience, his words were, I would not be the father I am today because I would not have had even a simple baseline to bump up against to know what a father is supposed to do for his family. And, you know, that's kind of the bare minimum, but that was really eye-opening for me. And I think that's the detriment that most of these kids in our society don't have a father figure face today, is they've got no example, no baseline for what they need to do to be a father in the future. And that just perpetuates the cycle.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Justin, what's the name of the application that I may have missed it? You said there was an app available.
It will be available. It'll be out late this spring. And the program is called Kid Boss, like BOSS. Okay. And it's a playoff of our other program called Dad Boss. And Dad Boss helps dads level up in the areas of faith, family, fitness, and finances. So we've got a digital course and a subscription program where dads can hear from experts in different categories like those four we described, and also join communities with other dads, because father is not meant to be done in isolation. We should be doing this in community with other people who have the same challenges and struggles and wins that we do.
Okay.
You just heard to answer my question. So slightly different situation. So you have a divorce going on and you got dad having the kids on the weekend and that's it. And because you work a certain job, you can't get them longer than that without a significant other or a babysitter. And even then, if it's a babysitter, it's only 4 hours and then they've got to go back to mom if she will want them. And so what would be your suggestion? It sounds like you've got already ideas with what you just mentioned as far as what you would say to someone that has their kids on the weekend and what's the most efficient and useful and memorative and significant things to do with them.
Yeah, I think that's where, Daddy Saturday really comes into play, and just that concept of being intentional, especially when your time is so limited. And, I had my kids for 8 to 10 hours, so I was literally trying to fill the gaps sometimes just to take four kids for a full day on a weekend and keep them engaged and have fun and be intentional, make the time memorable. But if it's only a couple of hours, right, then I think that's where you just, again, have to be intentional. The other thing I would say is, don't do it alone. That's the point of community. And we're working right now to launch the network nationally where we'll have dads that are community coaches. So they'll stand up and say, hey, we're having an event at the park. We're going to do a massive water balloon fight. Bring your kids out. We've got all the supplies. Just bring your towels and your smiles and, we get everything else taken care of. So if I'm a dad in that circumstance, I could join in that activity. It gives me something to do with other dads, other people in the community. And it's safe, it's fun, and it's going to create a great memory with me and my kids. And I'm not sitting there trying to figure out what to do on a Saturday, which can be intimidating sometimes. Not every dad is wired to do what I did, which was I would do research on YouTube and think of crazy ideas during the week to do with my kids because, that's what I wanted to do. And that's okay. There's other resources out there, and we've got plenty of them to help those kinds of dads. The second thing is join the community. So they have other dads that are divorced dads that they can then talk to in a forum and learn, share successes, share wins, share frustrations and failures too, and help them all move forward together.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I'm sorry, I maybe cut off Tank a little bit, but I'd be interested in having you expand a little bit on where nationwide the organizations are located so that people who are listening who may be in that area can touch base with the right people and maybe get involved in that sort of thing.
Yeah, so right now we're relaunching our entire website, and there will be a map in the U.S. of the U.S. there, and we'll have those community coaches who have stepped up and kind of certified themselves. And so you'll be able to go to daddysaturday.com in about a month. It'll be fully launched, and we'll have all that in place, and you'll be able to go and access exactly in your community. And then you'll be able to see there's no one in my community yet, and maybe you want to step up and serve that role. I would say for now, people can email me at info@daddysaturday.com. If they're interested in that, we can go ahead and get the process started to get you certified or get you to be a community coach, resource you, equip you. And that's all it takes is just some willingness and a little bit of courage to do it. And that's all we're asking for. We'll take care of everything else. So daddysaturday.com or email me at info@daddysaturday.com as well.
That's great. Now, you don't necessarily have to be a dad, I would assume, to volunteer, right?
100%. Father figure is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Great. That's great. Use a lot of senior adults, some of those in their early 60s, to jump in there. This is where grandpas and grandmas can jump in also. We told everybody about you. A lot of them, Justin, were grandmas and grandpas because they like to jump in, like you're saying, and help their sons and son-in-laws and such to do what Rob was sharing, to jump in and be part of this with them. So we'll make sure we get that information to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's great. And I work a lot with Dr. Ken Canfield. Dr. Canfield's on my board. And Ken started the National Center for Fathering. And now he's got grandparentsmatter.org. And, his research shows that grandparents are playing a much higher role, active role, in the lives of their grandkids today. And a lot of it goes back to what Rob was saying, is that a lot of single-parent families. And so grandparents are stepping up and having to fill the role or fill the void for a lot of these families today. So absolutely, grandparents welcome. Grandparents are more than invited and are very needed in this capacity today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like grandparents are greatly appreciated from those kids who are from single parent households because they do have family connections that the kids probably didn't have with a single parent.
And if not, exactly they can right. jump into that community part, like you were saying, Rob, be a part of that community. Mm-hmm. And two or three or four others, like you're saying, Justin, they can jump in and be a grandfather for them. Some wonderful, wonderful senior adults that are active. I mean, they could still put on the T-shirt. I don't know if they could be a Spartan, Stephanie, but there's some pretty good guys out there and gals.
They could. I love the concept of mentorship because I know a lot of young men and older men, if they didn't have those examples, you know, you either flounder and don't know what to do, or you say, I'm going to do the complete opposite and you rise. But I think a lot just do what they've always seen. And so to see or understand, like, for example, when we started going to church was when our kids were young, right? And I think for you to have the aha moment, hey, there's some other dudes here at the church. Like, I thought a men's group would be this lame thing, right? And then to realize that, no, there's your buddies here, or that it's a safe space and it's okay to mess up. Just try, right? So I love this. I actually put a little note for him to follow up on it because I think it could be really, really valuable.
Yeah. So Stephanie, I love what you said. And Craig, you know, you hit the point with church, right? And I believe that far more is caught than taught. That's what we say in Daddy Saturday. And so much of that is just being around that father figure to understand what a father figure does. And you can, I say stuff to I'm blue in the face to my kids. My face matches the color of my shirt. And sometimes they don't listen, but they can see me do it one time and all of a sudden it sticks, right? And so that practice of seeing it in action is so meaningful. And that's where I just believe that, look, if you can just provide that father figure so they can bump up against somebody and watch them in action and see those characteristics and those traits, gives them an ideal for the man eventually that they want to become. Or I don't mean to single out boys here, or it also is for a female, right? The three things that every female wants to know, a young girl, is I see you, you matter, and you're beautiful. And so if she can have a father figure who can display those things to her and let her know that he sees her, that she matters, and that she's beautiful, then that's what she needs to hear from that father figure if she doesn't have it from a real father.
Boy, that's exciting. I remember when I was a single adult pastor, Justin, I had about 800 singles in the Bay Area. And we used to take the single ladies and the men. We had a great Bible study, great team of people. They were just awesome. The gals would, they'd join together in the morning, like you're saying. Then the gals would be, spend some time as a surrogate mom with the boys who didn't have a mom and vice versa. And then they'd all come together after and have a great fun time together as a family. And it was with, you know, no relationships involved in this. They were part of a family. So the kids felt safe. They felt like this is really great. And there's just such a opportunity that you're tapping into. You're doing an incredible job. I'm really excited for what you're doing on this to reach out to people. So many people, like Rob was saying, and there's a real world out there. And I think we've come to the place in the church world where we see things, everything's the perfect family and this and that and the other, and praise God for those that are, but the vast majority are not, and they need men and women from the church and men and women who love the Lord like you to reach out and find some ways to help them come through this. Then they will become giants for Christ, and they won't be part of that group that says it's a blunder, a struggle, and a regret. They'll be ready to go. Oh boy, I got to be careful. I'm an old pastor. Here I go. Next, who's got a good question here?
Well, I don't know if this is a question, but again, growing up where I did in southeastern Wisconsin, one of the biggest things that we had growing up was an incredibly great music program. And we started kids, well, they, back when I was a young kid, would start music lessons in fourth grade. Some of the folks would take piano lessons when they were, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And one of the things I remember from all that, besides, you know, getting a great musical education and having a lifelong appreciation for great music, which does not include almost every piece of music that comes out today, is that you develop a certain, I don't know, either self-discipline or a dedication and a lot of time that goes into practicing And then doing whatever, you know, band concerts, orchestra concerts, and so forth. And that tended to take up, as especially I got into high school and it, you know, snowballed from there. It took up so much time that we ended up being too busy to get in trouble. And none of that had anything to do with parents so much, other than, you know, parents encouraged us, you know, to practice. And as a drummer and percussionist, my parents probably had a really rough time with all the noise upstairs. A lot of trouble with the noise upstairs. But I think, again, that kind of activity, and again, in addition to sports and running around and playing, is a great idea to get kids focused on something other than the situation that they're in life.
I absolutely love that. And funny story. So my mother pushed me to be in church choir. I was the athlete kid, and I had to go kicking and screaming to church choir. And it was like the worst part of my week when I had to go to church choir. But she forced me to do that, and I learned to sing. And then when I got into high school, I joined the show choir in high school, and I was the only athlete who was in show choir. And remember that episode from the Brady Bunch? I think it was Peter when his voice starts cracking and everybody makes fun of him. Well, it happened to me in front of 500 people singing a solo my freshman year of high school and in show choir. And it was such an embarrassing moment. But it was a pivotal moment because I looked back on that the rest of my life and I was like, man, if I can get up and sing by myself in front of 500 people with my voice cracking because I'm going through puberty, it doesn't get much worse than that. And that's caused me to be a, you know, prominent speaker today. So I'm thankful for all those moments of going back. And now I do the same thing with my kids. We have a karaoke machine, and every Wednesday night in our house, it's karaoke night. And we get up and we sing as a family, and we have an absolute blast. And my daughter's the only one that's any good, and the boys are terrible. I'm not that good myself. And we have a blast, right?
They're cracking. Their voices are cracking, right?
Their voices are cracking. So we have fun with it. But it's, you know, the point is, it's like you try new things. You put yourself out there and you have those experiences. And as a child, you don't know what you're going through when you're going through. But later on in life, those are building blocks that will serve you so well down mm-hmm. the road. And to your point, there are so many kids that just aren't getting those experiences today.
Mm-hmm.
What made you so passionate about this?
That's a great question. So, you know, I have to say that it was that conversation with God when he said, you know, this is in your own family. And that's what I was called to do, is be the best dad that I could be to our four kids. But then I was asked to give that TEDx, that TED talk on fatherhood. And I started to do research around fatherlessness. And God just laid it on my heart. He said, Justin, you have a solution for this. What I've given you in your own family, you can show other men what this looks like. And he just really put Malachi 4:6 in my heart. He said, you know, you are destined to connect the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers. And I need you to serve and do this. And he said, all I'm asking is that you take care of the father who's right in front of you, father who's across the Zoom or on LinkedIn or in your community, and I'll take this thing to the world. And Craig, I'm like blown away to say he's done just that. I mean, we have Daddy Saturday Kenya established. We've got a corporate office over there, a radio program, and 3,000 kids at this point have been through our program over in Kenya, and it's expanding rapidly, and we hope to go to other countries. So, you know, I really feel it's just that pull in my heart, and I found my calling at a young stage in life, and God's hopefully going to be able to use me to do his will in the kingdom around the world to end fatherlessness. That's the goal.
I can see that he's anointed you.
Amen.
You know, you're God's thing to do this, and he's put you in the right place, right time,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the right person. Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Just trying to be a steward.
That's all we're doing, too. Where in Kenya exactly, Justin, are they located?
Yeah, it's right outside of Nairobi, just on the outskirts of Nairobi.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Kenya, and it's outside of Nairobi, at least, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah,
that's a tough place to work.
Yeah, I have not been there yet. So we were supposed to go last year on a family mission trip to go over and visit everyone. And then COVID obviously happened. So that got canceled and they built the office. And they, for my birthday, I just turned 40 end of January. And they made me this amazing belt and they posted it all over social media, and then they rubbed it in and said, you can't get it until you come here because you have to get it in person.
There you go.
They're holding it over my head.
It's like holding a ransom, I guess.
Yeah.
Justin, I think you're the one that said it, or somewhere. I've heard it, and I'm going to credit it to you, but you said, you know, when your passion and your call, God brings those together, that life is really exciting. And boy, this is awesome what he's been doing in your life in just the last 3 years that I've known about what you're doing. I'm really blessed, and we're all blessed and excited to hear this. Anybody else have a question? We've got about 5 minutes left, so let's have some more fun.
Well, I think Scott's a great example of somebody that, you know, the power of one person can make a difference. And that's something I think everybody should learn from. You know, anybody that wants to change things for the better, all it takes is one person and some motivation and drive. And I think, Justin, you've done just that. And God bless you for that.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, it's fun too, when you see the momentum of what God can do through one person and one connection. And I think the biggest challenge that I have, and I'll be transparent with you guys here for a minute, cause we're family, is I kind of outran my headlights and I outran the pace of my people, as I like to call it. So great lesson for anyone listening that, you know, even if you feel like you're anointed and you've got a calling, my mentality is I'm full velocity. My RPM gauge is in the red most of the time. And so my wife and my kids, for example, they, I asked them, can we embark on this? Can we go after this journey? And I went after it with such passion and vigor that I found myself way ahead of them looking backwards. And they're kind of standing at the starting line going, hey, wait a minute. We agreed to this, but we didn't think it was going to be like we're going to go travel the world 2 days later. And so, you know, I've had to really understand the being led by the Spirit and walking with God step by step, right? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So it's one step at a time. And you know, reaching that end goal of ending follows, this is amazing, but it's not worth it if my family and the people that are with me aren't there with me at the end of that. And so it's been a great lesson for me to learn in engaging this process. And I made some mistakes, but thankfully we've rectified all those things. And I'm working very hard to run at the pace of my people and work together to accomplish this big goal.
Wonderful.
Maybe that's why God put an obstacle course in your way called the Spartan.
Well, funny. It's actually not funny, but I lacerated my kidney my senior year of high school in football because God wanted to redirect me and say that football is not your life. I have other plans for you. That caused me to go to Clemson. We were moving from Charleston, South Carolina back in May of this year. And I got stung by a stingray my last surfing trip and had to have surgery on my ankle. And while we're moving to Nashville, and it slowed me down. I was going to run 100 miles in 24 hours for human trafficking. So I wasn't able to do that. And then I just hurt my hamstring and was at a Christian men's retreat. So I couldn't go skiing, which I really wanted to do, but it kept me in the lodge. And I met some amazing people who are going to take this and expand it for the kingdom well beyond anything I could have imagined. So God tends to hurt me when he needs to slow me down. So I'm trying to learn my lesson so I don't have to get injured anymore because this is getting kind of old.
That's right.
He did something very similar recently, so I'm poking him and laughing because if we don't listen, God will make us listen.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
There you go, Craig. We're kindred spirits in that.
We're fortunate. Yeah, all right. God burned my apartment down one time. That was really fun.
Oh my goodness.
That's a big lesson.
Yeah.
The interesting things were the things that were left behind. So I had on a wall, you know, the painting of God's hands and Adam's, you know, and a blanket my mom had crocheted and a whole bunch of things that didn't get destroyed, which is amazing that they are protected. So
that's right.
So cool.
Yeah. He's always there. Amen. He's always there. Yeah. Paul, you got anything you want to roll this way as we wrap her up?
Justin, in your TED talk, and this is in line with what we've been talking about. If you could just take maybe a second and talk about, you mentioned in your TED talk about trying to stop being the hero. You know, let your children be the hero. Can you just kind of expand on that just a little bit? I like what you said about heroes and guides. Sometimes we kind of get those mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. So this is very countercultural, and you see a lot of books that are out there about dad being the hero and the hero dad. And well, I think that's great in premise. I think it's bad in practice. And what I mean by that is when we try to become the hero of the story, we, again, don't allow our kids to succeed or fail on their own. We prevent them from that, and that's harmful in their long-term overall success. So the role that I ask fathers to play is that of a guide. And by being the guide, you allow your kids to experience success and failure on their own, but you're there to support them through the process and help them to learn from it. The biggest thing it does, though, is it causes the father to drop their ego and their pride by allowing other guides to come into their kids' lives and teach them things or give them experiences that I can't give them on my own. I'm not a handy guy. I don't know anything about saltwater fishing. Hunting is not my background. My kids have had all these insane experiences because I've allowed other guides who are experts to come into their life and to teach them those things that I can't teach them because I'm not an expert. And I would be robbing my kids of those experiences if I did that. At the same time, guess what ends up happening? It makes me the hero anyways, because I'm the one that made that thing happen for them, right? But having that connection. And then the long-term play is that for all of you, when you get into the point where you have grandkids or older young adult kids, they don't need a hero at that point. They need a guide. They need that counselor, someone that can walk them through those big decisions and big life moments. And if you do that early enough in life, then it becomes a natural process to transition into. So the role is to be the guide, let your kids be the hero of their own story, and support them along the journey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good insight. Good.
Good insight.
And again, Justin, I think, you know, we're also swimming upstream because culturally, whether it's TV or Hollywood, especially, men in general are usually denigrated, downgraded, made to play the dumb, ignorant, stupid person, and the women, you know, are made to play the strong, independent individual, and men end up taking sort of second seat, distant second. And that's, again, a cultural thing, I think, that needs to change too, in order for men to regain their position in the society, in culture, and in the family especially.
I couldn't agree more. And our philosophy is, my wife is a very strong, independent woman. She owns her own business. I support her in that. My daughter is strong and young and independent. But if we allow that to get off kilter, right, if it's out of the design that God had for us in marriage or in family, then we see issues or in society. My wife and I's line is that 1 + 1 = 3. And when we come together, the two of us together should be more powerful in union than we are independently alone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great principle. Great principle. Well, folks, it's boy, does that clock get away from us, Justin, when we're having a great time. You know, on behalf of everybody, we all want to thank you. Thank you for blessing countless thousands of people with what you do. And I know there's a whole crew of young men coming up right now that are going to be champions for Christ, authentic Christian leaders with a legitimate faith because it's been instilled by people like you. And you not only do it yourself, but as you share with all of us, you help everybody else to do this. So you, sir, are going to be in our prayers. We promise to pray with you. And let's make sure we have this right. info@daddysaturday.com to you, or just daddysaturday.com, those two sites.
Those would be great. And then if you want to connect with me personally, LinkedIn is probably the best place to do that. Just search for Justin Batt, and you can grab me on LinkedIn, and you can direct message me there as well.
Great. LinkedIn. Okay, we'll be doing that. So thanks for being with us, Justin. We'll look forward to having you back someday and hearing what's happened, seeing how you all caught up past the finish line and what God's up to next with the whole family. So God bless and keep you, brother. And on behalf of all the guys and gals here at Raising Expectation, we'll be keeping track, and we covenant to pray for you. And thanks for being the great encourager you are, because life's full of encouragement if we know where the faith source is, and we know that we can, as Stephanie said, do it, right, Stephanie? Don't say can't do it. We can do it. In Christ, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So we'll look forward to talking to you. I'll be checking back with you, and we'll all be praying for you. And those of you watching me right now, we're going to have to run. Our time is up. But thanks so much for tuning into Raising Expectations this week. It's you that make the program special, and it's great people like Justin who hopefully encourage and lift you up. And thanks for being part of our Raising Expectations family. We covet you. We thank God for you. And we look forward to meeting you all someday, okay? So God bless and keep you. On behalf of everybody here, have a great evening. I'm signing off right on time. Imagine that. That's kind of rare for me, Justin. But anyway, I'll be checking.
Bye, Justin. God bless
you. See you, Justin.
It's a pleasure.
Great meeting you,
bye,
Justin.
Guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.